Hello again, everyone. Welcome inside. It's another edition of the Adam Jones Podcast, Season 3. Here we are, presented by the Baltimore Banner. He's, of course, the former five-time All-Star Adam Jones. I'm just Jerry Coleman, here to carry the podcast along, or be the train conductor, if you will. It is time for Episode 66, AJ. We're going to be joined by famed baseball architect Janet Marie Smith. She is the Senior Vice President of Planning and Development for the Los Angeles Dodgers. But around here, best known for her development of Oriole Park at Camden Yards, which set the standard for all the ballparks across the major leagues. Adam and I are also going to talk about playing baseball in all sorts of conditions, something he's very experienced in during this first month of the season. We'll also explore this ridiculous lawsuit going on out in Arizona, which includes one of Adam's former teammates and a former Oriole. Stay tuned for that. Plus a chance to win a $50 gift card, compliments of our friends at Lido Pizza during Socially Speaking. But let's get to it. As always, we begin with our featured guest brought to us by Jimmy's Famous Seafood. She is Janet Marie Smith, again, the Senior VP Planning and Development for the Dodgers. Janet, really appreciate you taking the time and being here. And I know it's been a while since you've been with the Orioles and the organization. I mentioned you're with the Dodgers now, yet you still reside in Baltimore. Your affinity of Baltimore. Tell us why you decided to live here when you could live almost anywhere.
Well, it's been home since Larry Lucchino hired me in 1989 to work on Camden Yards. And it's just such a fantastic city. It's got such a big personality, and there's so many things to say about it that we just chose this to be home and place to raise our kids. And since Fran Weld and I started this company, Canopy, supported by the Dodgers, we thought, what better place to drop anchor than Charm City?
You mentioned Mr. Lucchino, obviously him passing in recent days. He's meant to the Red Sox, he's meant to Baltimore, and now, you go back to San Diego, that's personal. Because he helped orchestrate Petco Park. He brought in Mel Proctor. That was my favorite announcer growing up, who comes from Baltimore. Again, I end up in Baltimore. So me and Lucchino, for some reason, we never met, I don't think, but we had a connection beyond that we didn't know. How was your relationship with Mr. Lucchino?
Like all of Larry's relationships, they were based on a combination of challenging and trusting. But, he was amazing. He was a true visionary. It's not a word I use lightly. But every place he went, he really thought about the city he was in. He thought about what baseball would mean to that city. And he really had an idea that was different in everyone. A lot of people have a success like Camden Yards and go and just simply repeat it the next three stops. Not Larry. Camden Yards was all about old-fashioned ballpark, modern amenities, fitting into the context. San Diego was all about creating a vibrant downtown, making certain that Petco Park and the surrounding development. Fenway Park was a total restoration. You might have said, gee, after cutting ribbons on these new parks, maybe he'd like to cut a ribbon in Boston. No, he saw value in Fenway Park itself. And I was lucky that he called me on all of these stops, including his last one in Worcester, where he brought the AAA Red Sox affiliate to the city of Worcester to create the Woo Sox.
I want to talk about Camden Yards. Obviously, going from Memorial Stadium, which everybody, still loves. I've now been able to go to the YMCA there and step at home plate, where the number 20 behind you did a lot of damage at the ballpark. What goes into actually getting the approvals and everything that goes into a ballpark, like location, approvals, financing? What are these things? And again, you're the architect behind it. I don't know if you know all of those.
And I'm not really I am trained as an architect, but I'm the train conductor. I don't want to take anything away from the architects who actually designed this. So your question is spot on. That's what we do, is help support the political agenda. How do you figure out how to finance it? How do you strike deals with your concessionaire, your retailers? How do you market things to that particular community? And how does all of that translate into the look and feel of a place? And that is the thing that we love the most, is the tangible, from urban planning down to the graphic design. And I really loved working for Larry Lucchino because he cared about all of those things. And he cared about the physical manifestation. At the end of the day, our goal in Baltimore was to figure out how to create a place where fans just simply wanted to spend a summer evening. You certainly want to put a competitive team on the playing field. The two highest attended parks in the major leagues were Wrigley Field and Fenway Park. So to him, there was something in the atmosphere, the intimacy, and that was our goal. And listen, you mentioned Frank Robinson because we got a 20 right here over my head reminding us of his influence. But Frank was the manager of the Orioles when we created Camden Yards, and his fingerprints are on everything from the dimensions of the playing field to the way the clubhouse was designed to the dugouts. And Frank was really concerned about the fairness of the park, the camaraderie of the team, and the way the fans would relate to the game on the field. And of course, as you note, he could speak with credibility that nobody else could.
So who decided to put that hard warning track around the entire field?
Sound like you're speaking from experience.
Who was the brains behind that? Please don't tell me it was you. I love you. Don't tell me it was you.
No, the groundskeeper really oversees the warning track, the grass on the field, and all of that. That was, and I think it's been changed several times since it's open. So I can't say that I can speak to what's out there, nor what was out there when you were there. I do remember Buck Showalter having a lot to say about that warning track too.
We got it changed. Yeah, we were able to get it changed in about 12. I told him I'm not diving on it, unfortunately. Hey, yeah. Unless it's the last out of the World Series and my whole thing is skinned up, I'll take it to the offseason.
My recollection was that it was brick dust once upon a time, and I can see where diving into bricks would, not be – you wouldn't bounce.
No bounce on that.
Yeah, after 30-plus years now, Camden Yards is about to go a little bit of a metamorphosis. It already has. They moved the left field wall back. They're going to – they need to fix the sound system and the scoreboard. I guess, again, after 30-plus years, wear and tear comes in. What do you think about some of these pending changes?
Oh, I think they'll be fantastic for Baltimore and for the state of Maryland. When we were working on Camden Yards, Memorial Stadium was 34 years old, and I used to worry, we're going into this signing a 30-year lease. Are we going to get to the end of this 30-year lease? And be like, yikes, we need a new ballpark. So I'm elated that it has withstood the test of time, at least the first 30 years that we can measure, and that the state believes in it enough to make an investment. You see it across baseball. So kudos to Maryland for making this a priority.
When you guys went ahead and made the windows shatterproof, do you think you guys were expecting a little too much? Because I don't know of any windows that have been touched by a baseball unless someone was throwing it from the outfield court there against the wall.
No, it is. It's a good question because I spoke about how much Frank cared about making certain that the park played fair. And we had this idea when we created Utah Street, this inside the park street, that it would be just far enough away that a home run would be special, but not an everyday occurrence. And that has turned out to be maybe better than we would have ever dreamed with 30 years of evidence. It's littered with baseballs, but it's still special. We really did think the warehouse was going to be in play more often than it was. We've only got the one star where Ken Griffey Jr. hit it during the All-Star game in 93. And I don't even think that was the All-Star game. That might have been the Home Run Derby. I can't remember now. Yep. So, yes, I do think that it might have been a little extra belts and suspenders to make the second and third floor shatterproof like it was a windshield. But that's okay.
We've got more to come with legendary baseball architect Janet Marie Smith right here on the Adam Jones Podcast. But first, please go out and support the following sponsors who make this podcast possible.
The Adam Jones Podcast is brought to you by our friends at the Weinman Company. Everyone knows Greenmount Station in Hampstead, but did you know that at Greenmount Station, you can bet 7 days a week just like you're at the track? With in-person teller windows and state-of-the-art touchscreen kiosks. And with Greenmount Station's brand new Bet Park Sportsbook, you can bet on all other sports as well, wherever you are in Maryland. Spreads, money lines, live bets, props, parlays, and teasers. The Bet Parks Maryland mobile app is now live for Apple and Android devices, so you'll never miss your next big score. Just search for Bet Parks MD in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. And for a limited time, 21 and over Adam Jones podcast listeners can get a $75 gift card to Greenmount Station simply for opening a new account with promo code GMS and a minimum $50 initial deposit. $75 gift card for new users in Maryland only. 21 and over only. Please play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. The Adam Jones podcast is brought to you by Jimmy's Famous Seafood, Charm City's favorite crab cake destination. Local sports fan? Experience the ultimate pregame party. party at the tailgate. Cheer on the Ravens with iconic live performances, an open bar, and mouth-watering eats. Can't make it? No worries. Bring the same food that caught the attention of the Food Network right to your doorstep. Shipping East Coast recipes nationwide. Jimmy's Famous Seafood is the official sponsor of the guests appearing on the Adam Jones Podcast.
Maryland Lottery. Because fun looks good on you. Right now, play our exciting new multiplier scratch-offs for a chance to win up to $2 million. Come and get your fun.
If you received ERC funds, listen closely. The IRS has 10 years to audit your claim, but you only have until March 22nd to get taxpayer relief, and the clock is ticking. If you're losing sleep over a possible audit, we'll review your claim. If you made a filing error, we'll set things right. If you're being audited, we'll provide expert representation. The IRS voluntary disclosure program ends March 22nd. You deserve peace of mind. Visit SaveMyERC.com to schedule a consultation today. That's SaveMyERC.com. Effective Solutions, your one-stop shop for commercial contracting. Everything from excavation and site development to emergency remediation and restoration. Effective Solutions specializes in many forms of commercial and mixed-use construction. With a dedicated staff and a commitment to quality, Effective Solutions delivers every time. There are a lot of ways to make whiskey, but there's only one way to make Jack Daniels. At Jack Daniels, they charcoal mellow every drop, only using water from Cave Spring Hollow in Tennessee. When you make your own label, you make everything else yours too, but we don't need to tell you that, do we? Make it count. Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly. Tennessee whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniels and Old Number 7 are registered trademarks. 2022 Jack Daniels, all rights reserved. The Adam Jones Podcast welcomes Relief Shop. Shop Maryland's largest adult use and medical cannabis menu, located at 1114 Cathedral Street in Baltimore, with medical delivery available throughout Maryland 7 days a week, only at Relief Shop.
Your fun awaits at Hollywood Casino Perryville. Feed the whole crew with something for everyone, from cheesesteaks to crab cake sandwiches. Plus, ask how you can get a $15 dining credit. Get in on the gaming action with the hottest slots and your favorite table games like blackjack, roulette, and poker. Free live shows every Friday and Saturday. Come experience nonstop fun and excitement only at Hollywood Casino Perryville.
Hey, you work hard, I work hard, and we all like to save money. That's why we need the Royal Farms ROFO Rewards app to get more value for our hard-earned money. With the app, you earn royalty points on every purchase, can place mobile orders for quick pickup, plus a discount at the gas pump with ROFO Pay. We all like to save money. And with the ROFO Rewards app, we do.
Real fresh, real fast. Royal Farms.
It's the perfect time to check out a spacious and reliable new Toyota SUV, like a RAV4. With available all-wheel drive and plenty of cargo space, you'll go from errands to adventures in no time. Plus, available features like wireless charging will keep you connected. Or check out a Highlander with seating for up to eight. It's a hub for family adventure. Your Toyota dealer is getting new vehicles in stock regularly, so don't wait. Find deals on a RAV4 or Highlander at buyatoyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Let's get back into it. It's our continuing conversation with Baltimore-based baseball architect and Dodgers VP Janet Marie Smith, only on the Adam Jones Podcast.
In 2009 and 12, you came back and worked with the Orioles, and you helped revitalize Ed Smith. And obviously, I got to spend nine spring trainings there. And my first two, the place was an absolute dump. I show back up, and I believe in 11
Don't sugarcoat it.
Yeah, it was a dump. There's no sugarcoating. The place was a dump. And I remember showing back up in 12, and we're like, are we in Sarasota? Did we go to – because I come from the Mariners. I had a really nice ballpark in Arizona, and I'm like, I got Fort Lauderdale, and now I got this. And then we come to Ed Smith in 2012 as just an absolute great ballpark. And I'm saying, what goes into those things? Because I heard the rumblings of the city forking over, helping out with $30 million. Obviously, Mr. Angelos at the time was very intimate into getting the ballpark down there done. And I didn't know you had such strong influence in this entire process. Can you explain or tell us a little bit about that?
It was a real honor for Peter Angelos to hire me to oversee that project. And I loved it because People look at something like Fenway Park or the renovations that I've been working on at Dodger Stadium and think, well, yeah, of course they're going to be great. Those are wonderful parks to start with. So as long as you don't mess it up, it's going to be fantastic. Ed Smith Stadium, the White Sox had left it. The Reds had left it. You said the Orioles were playing there, you know, because it was Sarasota, it was close to other clubs, but it really was a dump. It was not, there was nothing to recommend it architecturally, having opened in 1989. I can't say that was a highlight of architecture in America. And what I loved about that project was that it showed that you really can take something that's an ugly duckling and turn it into a swan for half the price. And I think that's the amazing thing, is most clubs looked at Ed Smith Stadium and the county's $30 million and sneered. You know, at the same time, you had like the Red Sox building JetBlue Park for $98 million just across Florida. And they're like, that's not going to be enough. But we brought in David Schwartz. We worked really closely with the county. We were able to just think smart about how to invest that money. Even the seats that are there are from Camden Yards, the original installation in 1992. So we just tried to think smart about it. And I'm delighted that here 10 years later, it still tops the Grapefruit League and fan favorites. And even better, players feel that it served their training purposes too.
Yeah, it's perfect. What type of challenges do you face when you have to go overseas to oversee a project as opposed to here in the United States, like an academy in the DR, for instance?
Well, I loved working in the DR. The Dodgers had me overhaul their Compass Los Palmas facility when it was 40 years old. And it had been built as original sort of, you know, a bunch of guys out there putting stucco together. So this was really a, you know, very much about how do you take something that's old, that's really of its time, and turn it into something special? And in the DR, their building codes are much more lax than ours are, which isn't to say they don't have them, but the construction sometimes would baffle me that we could, that we could do some of the things we could do. So in some ways, it was easier. And I love that project because at the time, our baseball guys were all about not only the physical training of athletes, but their mental health. And so if you look at a lot of the DR facilities, they're like a big box under one roof. At Compass Los Palmas, the Dodgers had like a dozen small buildings, and we repurposed those rather than tear them down so that we were able to have a gym in one building and a lounge in another building and a dining room in yet another building. And so they used it almost like time management. And that's the thing I enjoy. It's sort of back to your question, Adam, about how do you pull these things together? I really enjoyed the challenge of how do you take these buildings and rather than tearing them down and starting over, how do you make them work for the team philosophy? And because the team philosophy was so much about time management, the mental health, as well as the physical health of these very young athletes who were coming in, we really tried to make the buildings an expression of that. Now, overseas isn't always easy. I've had the good fortune of doing some work for Chelsea football on Stamford Bridge, and working in London is a whole other kettle of fish. You know, that's like the opposite. And we forget sometimes in America how lucky we are that for the most part, every city has one team. You might have an outlier like New York, LA, or Chicago with two, but our cities in America treat our teams is very special. And often government is as concerned as we, the team, are with making our deadlines. I love to tell the story about Dodger Stadium when Stan Kasten first brought me in their first year of ownership. We did $130 million worth of design and construction in 5 months. And you don't do that without the support of your government. In London, they've got 8 Premier League teams. Like, you just get in line with everybody else. I mean, it was a much, much harder challenge to work through those issues.
Well, Dad, Camden Yards, 30 years old, 32 now. He's still a beauty. I enjoyed myself there. Some great, great moments. Is 21-31 the greatest moment in Camden Yards history?
It's got to be the most emotional. You know, a record that may never be broken again. Really, that is just phenomenal. And so I don't know, goodness knows here in Baltimore, we're dying for a World Series. Like, it would be, if you'd said to me when we opened in 92 that 32 years later we would not have hosted one, I wouldn't believe it, because the Orioles were such a dynasty for so long. And so we're hoping to beat Cal's record in terms of enthusiasm and how Camden Yards sort of rises above. But that moment was just fantastic. And I, having been there, I believe Cal when he says that it was just spontaneity that sent him around the warning track with all those high fives. It did feel that way. Nothing felt scripted about the enthusiasm of that night.
What a great night that was in 1995. Another thing that I've noticed with Camden Yards that is sort of changing once again is the skyline. I mean, we could see the Bromo Seltzer Tower and a lot of Baltimore back in the day, and now there's been a lot of construction around the ballpark. As someone who's involved in construction, how do you feel about all that?
Well, I can't curse it the way people expect me to. I think people always feel like they can kind of goose me a little bit to say something like, oh, the Hilton is terrible. Well, I don't think the Hilton is very artfully designed, for sure. I would have put that elevator core further west so you could still had that beautiful view of the Bromo Seltzer Tower and more defining features from behind home plate rather than having to move all the way around to right field to see it. But when Camden Yards was placed in downtown Baltimore, it was for two reasons, and they were both driven by Governor William Donald Schaefer, who had been mayor of Baltimore, and he loved the city, and you felt that love. He wanted to put it here, one, because the infrastructure was already here. The city and state did not have to invest a lot of money in light rail, on and off ramps onto 95 or Martin Luther King, garages. They were already here. Like, it was, you looked at other cities and they were spending as much on the infrastructure as they were on the ballpark. Not in Baltimore. The infrastructure was already here. The second reason Schaefer believed in it is that it was positioned like Petco Park in San Diego, just far enough from the downtown core that the surface parking lots could be developed. And so say what you will about the Hilton, but all of those surface lots that the city and private entities had control of in 92 have since been developed. And the only surface lots are those that are still owned by the state of Maryland. So I guess I'm hoping that the Orioles and Ravens will kind of have a kumbaya moment and figure out how we can make things different so that there is a vibrancy around Camden Yards and not just on the north side. Listen, we've been loving Pickles Pub for 32 years, but there ought to be more than that to give us that kind of a vibrancy around the ballpark.
Agreed. I did want to ask you, because we're going to talk about it a little later in the podcast, J.J. Hardy, the former Oriole, is building his own personal ballpark. He has the resources in his backyard. But he's causing quite a stir, as we'll talk about. His neighbors aren't liking it too much. I just want to know, Jana Marie, have you ever been hired by, whether it be a former professional ball player or someone who's got tremendous wealth, to come into their backyard and design a ballpark privately?
No backyard ballparks for me yet. it is interesting. When I worked on the renovation of Fenway, one of the things that struck me was, well, first of all, you're never an expert when you've got 80 something years of fans who've been going there. Like, they're the experts and you better listen. You know, that's a lot of my job, is just kind of listening to how fans react to the game, because every community is different. Every baseball culture has their own traditions, whether it's the national anthem, the food, their seventh inning stretch. There were a number of things about the game itself. Another little Frank Robbins story, that whole notion of having a 7-foot high fence was all about Frank advocating that one of the most exciting plays in baseball is robbing a home run. And you couldn't do that with an 8-foot fence, which is what MLB was championing back in the days. So we had to go make a special trip up to New York, and we relied on the fact that Memorial Stadium had 7-foot fence to convince MLB that we should be able to carry that little nugget to Camden Yards with us. So anyway, that was a signature play in Baltimore, and we didn't want to lose it.
Hit well out to right center field. Jones still on the move, running out of room, and he makes the play!
7-foot wall.
That's right.
7-foot wall.
That's why Adam appreciates those 100%. Shorter balls.
I want to give you your flowers, and I always try to do that. In 2019, you were top 30 most powerful women in sports. How incredible is that? As a male-dominated industry, the owners are male, everybody's male. You were in there. You're not male.
Well, no, but I'm in there with my boxing gloves on pretty much every day. And so, I feel grateful to the men who've trusted me and given me those assignments that have allowed me to be thought of that way. I do think women are half the spectator audience. So why not be half of the business decisions behind making things happen? And I've relished the opportunities that have been given to me.
As a married man, that's let her have the better. She makes way better decisions than the male. Very true. That goes on in different facets of life.
It's the right call. Hey, Jana Marie, we really appreciate you taking your time here to be here, a part of the Adam Jones podcast. And we wish you nothing but the best. Looking forward to your next project.
Great. Thank you. Me too.
Let's move along to our For the Birds segment. It's sponsored by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Hey, when you play the Maryland Lottery, set limits, never play when you're stressed, and know your odds of winning. To learn more, simply visit mdlottery.com/playresponsibly. Must be 18 years or older to play. If you're watching on YouTube, the antics from Adam are fabulous. You should be watching on YouTube, folks. All right, Adam, throughout the first month of the season, you know, baseball is going through all sorts of weather conditions. As a player, how did you handle that after coming up for a long time from Florida and then from Arizona to play in different conditions throughout the month of April?
Well, you said it like it's a new phenomenon.
No.
It happened last year. It happened the year before. Oh, yeah. It happened in 1922 also.
I know this. I just want to know how you as a former player.
I mean, it's part of the game, man. I'm tired of these different things of we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be doing that. I seen Rojas for the Dodgers get really upset. Certain situations when it's pouring and you can look at the forecast and you can, you know, I see some of it. A lot of it, they don't cancel games because of scheduling. If you're not in that region, you play a team once or twice, it's tough to reschedule. If it's the Orioles and the Yankees, if it's the Red Sox, Yankees in the division, we can somehow reschedule it because we see each other again. If it's the Dodgers or Cubs, they see each other one time a year. They don't want to reschedule this game in the other park just to get the game because the other team wants to gate. You figure it out. I mean, all the companies have cold gear. There's heaters inside the dugout.
Hey, no alibi.
They got hand warmers. You could be doing something worse outside.
It's a lot harder playing football in December.
No, it's not really, because those dudes run on adrenaline. They got them big heaters, but
oh, really?
It's your job. It's your job. It's okay. You know that it's not. So what's the difference of playing when it's hot?
Well, I'm just talking about, you know, in Kansas City, people lost limbs from frostbite at a football game.
Bro, we don't see that in baseball. We put our whole feet into a bucket of cold ice water in Kansas City. The whole cleat, too. Just the whole thing in there. And by the time you get out there, it'd be dry.
Okay.
It's the conditions. And now they have so many different things, blowers, this, to keep you cool, put a towel in, ammonia rags. I mean, there's ways to do it. The thing is, though, and the number one thing, especially in the heat, is stay hydrated. And the number one thing in the cold is you just have to somehow stay loose, because quick action, how baseball is, it's a quick action. If you tight and tense, it's a lot easier to get yourself hurt.
And that leads me into my next question, the potential for injury early in the season. How do you have to ensure that you make it through the whole season? Do you have to be a little bit more careful at the beginning?
Well, okay, this is how I would do it. A person that wears metal cleats and plastic cleats, there's a lot of guys that go both back and forth. A lot of guys go plastic now. When it's rainy and it's muddy, you have to go metal cleats. You just have to. It digs in better. The traction on the bases, the traction on the grass in the outfield, everything just improves with metal. So that's number one. When it's really hot, you kind of want to go metals also, because you want to be able to dig in and grind. And when it's too hot, the surfaces become harder. Even then, when they wet it, it dries out too quick. So you want to still be able to dig in. Those beautiful summer days or beautiful, you know, fall days that are just 78, 80 degrees, you can wear your metals. But with the footwear, you have to understand the conditions. Certain batter's boxes don't take certain things well. Cleveland, you can wear plastics there no matter what. That ballpark is perfect. Manny, he's a guy who wears plastics all the time. And he knows the ballparks too, but he also knows which ones I have to wear metal in. And it's just knowing these parks. Like, I loved Toronto, but I had to wear metals inside their batter's box, but I'd switch to turf. I mean, sometimes I'll switch to my turfs, or I'd switch to my plastic cleats to play defense. So it's all about just knowing your surface and taking care of yourself, man. Again, doing too much work. You did all that work in spring training. You took all the ground balls. You did all that stuff. It's once the season starts, it's about longevity and preparing yourself for the long run.
Different approach for the pitchers as opposed to you position players?
In terms of cleats, I mean, pitchers always wear metal. But, yeah, it's the same thing. It's a long season. And, you know, again, there's a saying, you can't win the season. You can't win the World Series in April. You sure as hell can lose it. Pace yourself. People harp on too much of the early in the season things. It's 6 months. It's so long. So many people forget what happened in April, May, and June, and they only care about September. So just pace yourself. Be smart. Take the days off. If you're hanging, say something. It's no point to be a hero anymore. If you're hanging, say something. Like, it's smart to just do that nowadays. I know people want to be the tough guy. That era is not there anymore. It's an era of, look, if I'm hanging, I need to do what I need to do. We have the modern medicine. It's better. The money is there to where you don't need to. Okay. So like, you don't need to sit there and kill yourself anymore. But what you need to do is be there for your teammates. And right. By being there for your teammates, if he's hanging, if your knee hurts, he's doing this, it's saying, hey, I need a blow. I need a couple of days. Like, that's actually helping your teammate rather than going there and playing hurt. Because somebody who played through a lot of different injuries, I never played hurt, but you play hurt, can't play injured.
No. You never played injured, but you played hurt.
Played hurt. Yes. If you're injured, say something. But if you're hurt, you can manage it depending on things. And I did that great. But I don't think I hindered my team. When I didn't, like, I knew that I was done and like I can't do it, I would tell Buck and I would tell Richie, who looked at me with a side eye, like, what the hell he's talking about, day off. but I knew that I was, the other guy would be better than me today because I didn't have it. And sometimes guys have this pride, I get it. No one's breaking Cal Ripken's record anymore.
Yes.
Pride, yeah. Shut it down. No one's breaking it. Miguel Tejada was the furthest, and he was 1,000. It was like 1,100. That was the longest in a long, long time. I did 322 in center field. It was dumb. Take the days off. It's okay.
Regrets. All right, let's move along here. Let's travel beyond Baltimore, brought to you by our friends at Relief Medical Marijuana Dispensary, where they go above and beyond to help you, the patient. J.J. Hardy. He's in the news. We were talking about him a little earlier with Janet Marie Smith. He appeared on this very podcast last year. He's building his own personal ballpark out there in Chandler, Arizona. And I'd love to hear your opinion of the situation involving the nosy neighbors. I remember a show called Bewitched back in the 70s. And I think one of the neighbors was named Gladys, and she was always sticking her nose into their business. And that's what it seems like here with J.J. Hardy. I mean, won't this benefit the neighborhood?
I mean, no, it won't. I've been in his neighborhood.
Is it too old over there?
No, it's not. It's just that when his neighborhood started years ago, it was like 6 or 7 big, big lots. Like, he has like 6 or 7 acres. Like, these are just big lots. And in between all that, and you know how Arizona and cities like that, they just build up all inside of it. So you have these really massive lots and then just like normal Arizona housing, bam, 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 bam. So I remember going over there years ago and loving it. But I'm like, damn, there's too many neighbors too close to you. And he's like, yeah, I know. They built up all this stuff. He wasn't happy. But to build these poles and all that kind of stuff is awesome. I mean, he's knowing his neighbor. I'm not going to say any names because I don't know what legal things is going on, and I'm going to stay away from that. But what I do know is that he has no restrictions because technically he's not in the city of Chandler.
No, he's on some island or something.
Yeah. So he's not a dumb guy. He's very smart. He knows what he's doing. So he's like, I can just build this. I don't like all my neighbors around me anyway, so I'm going to make them not like me. That's so on par with him. But the best part was when they called his family or representation. There's no answer. He's not responding to that.
No, but I love the comment from the neighbor saying it's like living next to Top Golf. Get out of here.
That's great.
It'll be a lot louder than Top Golf, lady.
I'm going to call JJ and talk to him about it because this is hilarious. I mean,
it is.
It's so on par with him, though. He's like, hey, the rules say I can do it. And just hearing the neighbors interview just getting angry is hilarious. And I can just picture them just like driving by them, just like, so funny.
And again, if you're watching on YouTube, you will have seen a diagram of this mammoth backyard ballpark. It looks spectacular. maybe I'll be called in to throw an inning, but I'm not.
Oh, my goodness. This is awesome.
All right. Let's move along to our next segment. Our final one. It's Socially Speaking, where we answer a tweet or social media post. And you enter for a chance to win a $50 gift card from Lido Pizza. Lido Pizza is a proud partner of the Baltimore Orioles. We are on social media at Adam Jones Pod across every platform minus TikTok. That's X, Facebook, and Instagram. Or you can email us at theadamjonespod@gmail.com. You can see it on the screen, theadamjonespod@gmail.com. Now, Adam, you posted a video earlier last week asking about the art of the brushback pitch, and everyone from Jim Palmer to John Smith Sr. seemingly replied. You wrote, and we'll show the video right now on the YouTube portion of the podcast, messages like this aren't sent anymore. Any opinion as to why? And what inspired this, first of all, from your perspective?
Well, first off, again, the first pitch was a slider up and in. Randy Johnson to Kenny Lofton. Doesn't matter what it is.
First time up. 2-for-9 in the series, and Lofton doesn't like it at all.
Well, Gary, before the game, Kenny Lofton talked to me about Randy Johnson. He said he does not like facing Randy Johnson because every time he faces him, Johnson throws a ball at his head.
Here we go. Both dugouts have emptied. And it's pretty serious now. Lou Piniella down there had to be moved away as he started moving in on Lofton. They're restricted.
I don't know who is angrier, Lou or the big unit.
Oh, Lou is going to get mad. But Gary Thorne's on the call, which is great. But that's a slider. Okay, that's fine, Andy. And like you said, Lofton don't like it. Not many lefties stay in on Randy Johnson or take that day off. That's smart. The very next pitch, all them dudes came from the dugouts, the clubhouses, everywhere. They had to go all the way back. That's 10 minutes. Very next pitch, he throws a fastball up in. Like, not just painting down the way Randy Johnson. Again, he knows what he's doing with the ball. The very next pitch, he comes up and in. He knew what he was doing. The Mariners and the Indians in those era, this is bad blood. Again, now we all grow up with each other and have, you know, we go on vacations and each other. Hey, I love CeCe Sabathia. Between the lines, I can't stand his ass. Edwin Jackson, my boy, between the lines, I don't like you. We go out to dinner after the game and, you know, I mean, we got that. We family. Between the lines, man, and these messages aren't sent, and even in Japan, they apologize for hitting you. What? One of the dudes came and said, what the hell are you doing? Don't ever apologize for hitting me. I mean, but I remember coming up, we would hit Jeter. I mean, a lot of people hit Jeter. Oh, you're getting drilled. Again, Markakis' wrist.
I remember CeCe.
Markakis didn't get hit. I mean, like that's retaliation. That's how it's supposed to be. You hit my dude, I'm going to hit your dude. And you see it today, you just see it wrong. Like, come on, dude, send the message. You got the message. These dudes don't know how to send the message no more because they never had to. And it's not, again, it's the part of the game that is a lost art, just like we talk about the slides. There was one with Telez in Westberg. I've been on social media and argue with people about that. Telez doesn't have the speed to keep going. He stopped. It's a big train. No brakes on this. The brakes. But you infielders got to always remember, get out the way. It's the base runners have an enormous amount of space as long as they can touch the bag. As a base runner, you're supposed to know that. As an infielder, you should definitely know that. So it's like, you know, I don't know.
Well, everyone from Jim Palmer, as I said, to Joe Schmo chimed in. Jim wrote, yeah. I'd never upset Bob Gibson, Don Drysdale, or Nolan Ryan. Just saying, neither would I. I mean, those are three guys you don't want to tick off.
Yeah, but another thing is that another guy said, why? He's like, why would you want to make the big unit mad? Why not? Are you afraid of him? It's like when Buck Showalter came to manager, people reached out like, oh, man, Buck is scary. What the hell do you mean Buck is scary? I'm 6'3", 225. He's 5'7", 5'8". Like, what? He can't whoop my ass. Like, scary. Like, what are you talking about? Like, as a manager, as a human, like, what are you talking about? This is a sport. I don't give a damn how big you are, small you are.
if we need to fight, it is what it is. You should never want to be what pissing off anybody that's in another uniform.
What about Harvey?
I'll piss you off too. And if you ain't on my team, like, we're gonna be fighting too. Like, come on, man. Like, that some people are so scared of people.
What about this guy Harvey at Birdman Harvey? He responded, people have gotten soft and they don't want to deal with it in Major League Baseball.
I think that the players don't know how to do it correctly. That's the only, I don't think the right, like Verlander, look, you drill Altuve, if Verlander's on the mound, don't worry. One or two pitches, it's going to be over with. He's going to drill you. It's going to be his best fastball of the night. You're 96, 97, and he's going to drill you. He's going to get it over with. These young dudes now, they wait, and then they throw the pitch way behind a dude. Then they throw a slider. Then they throw another pitch. Like the Rhys Hoskins things, like, you wait to the fourth at-bat, and he's already 3-for-3 off you to hit him? You should have hit him in the very first inning. Get it out the way. Rhys, boo, he's getting booed. Hey, look, yesterday we didn't like what happened yesterday. It was legal, but we didn't like it. Hey, he would have been like, damn, out, OBP is up. I'm going to rake y'all on the back end of this game, though. You wait till the guy's 3-for-3 to hit him? No, you get it out the way. But they're not taught this. Again, it's no fault of them. It's just, you know, you don't have the older guys in the dugouts. You don't have the older pitching coaches who know how to do these things the correct way. You know what I mean? We had Rick Adair. He knew how to hit he's like, look, this situation, you hit somebody. It's what it is. You hit guys in the right situations, and that's how it goes. But in today's society, in today's game, they don't hit the dudes the correct way. CeCe, he lost $500,000 because he had to protect his guy. He did it the right way, though. First, let's get it out. Let's go. He ain't going to wait till two out and then, no, get it out the way, man. And they just have to learn that again.
This is why you interact at Adam Jones Pod on X, Facebook, or Instagram. These are the kind of topics we have at the end of every podcast, and they are lively. We do want to thank our sponsors. Please go out and support the following, including Dennis Wyman, who I saw on opening day, but he didn't buy me a meal.
The Adam Jones Podcast is brought to you by our friends at the Weinman Company. Everyone knows Greenmount Station in Hempstead, but did you know that at Greenmount Station you can bet 7 days a week just like you're at the track? With in-person teller windows and state-of-the-art touchscreen kiosks. And with Greenmount Station's brand new Bet Park Sportsbook, you can bet on all other sports as well, wherever you are in Maryland. Spreads, money lines, live bets, props, parlays, and teasers. The Bet Parks Maryland mobile app is now live for Apple and Android devices, so you'll never miss your next big score. Just search for Bet Parks MD in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. And for a limited time, 21 and over Adam Jones podcast listeners can get a $75 gift card to Greenmount Station simply for opening a new account with promo code GMS and a minimum $50 initial deposit. $75 gift card for new users in Maryland only. 21 and over only. Please play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. The Adam Jones podcast is brought to you by Jimmy's Famous Seafood, Charm City's favorite crab cake destination. Local sports fan? Experience the ultimate pregame party at the tailgate. Cheer on the Ravens with iconic live performances, an open bar, and mouth-watering eats. Can't make it? No worries. Bring the same food that caught the attention of the Food Network right to your doorstep. Shipping East Coast recipes nationwide. Jimmy's Famous Seafood is the official sponsor of the guests appearing on the Adam Jones Podcast.
Play the Maryland Lottery. Because fun looks good on you. Right now, play our exciting new multiplier scratch-offs for a chance to win up to $2 million. Come and get your fun. Come and
get your fun. If you received ERC funds, listen closely. The IRS has 10 years to audit your claim, but you only have until March 22nd to get taxpayer relief, and the clock is ticking. If you're losing sleep over a possible audit, we'll review your claim. If you made a filing error, we'll set things right. If you're being audited, we'll provide expert representation. The IRS Voluntary Disclosure Program ends March 22nd. You deserve peace of mind. Visit SaveMyERC.com to schedule a consultation today. That's SaveMyERC.com. Effective Solutions, your one-stop shop for commercial contracting. Everything from excavation and site development to emergency remediation and restoration. Effective Solutions specializes in many forms of commercial and mixed-use construction. With a dedicated staff and a commitment to quality, Effective Solutions delivers every time. There are a lot of ways to make whiskey, but there's only one way to make Jack Daniels. At Jack Daniels, they charcoal mellow every drop, only using water from Cave Spring Hollow in Tennessee. When you make your own label, you make everything else yours too. But we don't need to tell you that, Dewey, make it count. Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly. Tennessee whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniels and Old Number 7 are registered trademarks. 2022 Jack Daniels, all rights reserved.
The Adam Jones Podcast welcomes Relief Shop. Shop Maryland's largest adult use and medical cannabis menu, located at 1114 Cathedral Street in Baltimore, with medical delivery available throughout Maryland 7 days a week, only at Relief Shop.
Your fun awaits at Hollywood Casino Perryville. Feed the whole crew with something for everyone, from cheesesteaks to crab cake sandwiches. Plus, ask how you can get a $15 dining credit. Get in on the gaming action with the hottest slots and your favorite table games like blackjack, roulette, and poker. Free live shows every Friday and Saturday. Come experience nonstop fun and excitement only at Hollywood Casino Perryville.
Hey, you work hard, I work hard, and we all like to save money. That's why we need the Royal Farms ROFO Rewards app to get more value for our hard-earned money. With the app, you earn royalty points on every purchase, can place mobile orders for quick pickup, plus a discount at the gas pump with ROFO Pay. We all like to save money. And with the ROFO Rewards app, we do.
Real fresh, real fast. Royal Farms.
It's the perfect time to check out a spacious and reliable new Toyota SUV. Like a RAV4, with available all-wheel drive and plenty of cargo space, you'll go from errands to adventures in no time. Plus, available features like wireless charging will keep you connected. Or check out a Highlander with seating for up to eight. It's a hub for family adventure. Your Toyota dealer is getting new vehicles in stock regularly, so don't wait. Find deals on a RAV4 or Highlander at buyatoyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Thanks to senior executive producer Chip Franklin. Chip likes to go over to Tijuana to get some dental work. We called the U.S. government, make sure he was allowed back into the country in order to put this podcast together. So thanks to the government for that, letting him back in. Go out and subscribe to the Baltimore Banner until next week. Be kind, be real, and make sure to be back for next week's episode of the Adam Jones Podcast.